on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back to another edition of the YokeCast podcast. As we keep rolling through the year, it's hard to believe we've reached the month of November. November means a lot of fun things, right? It's stretch time for volleyball as they close in on the Summit League tournament. The basketball seasons are start to get underway, and football is in its final stretch as we start to really think about the P word, playoffs, at the end of the season. So a lot of exciting things going on right now. Women's cross country won the Summit League championship last week. Congratulations to them. We'll talk more about that cross-country championship coming up in just a little bit with one of our featured guests. Shorter episode of the podcast today, but we will talk SIU football with Luke Martin, and we will also be joined by Abby Ripperda, who will talk about the Summit League Championship. And, you know, this is a seventh-year senior who got the opportunity to come back. She didn't know if she was going to. She decided to come back and try to chase this opportunity, chase a Summit League Championship. And because of that, she's a big reason why the Coyotes were able to win the Summit League Championship. So her decision to come back paid off. And now we'll see how things go for her going forward. But a huge, huge win for the Coyote women in cross country as they were able to win the Summit League Championship. So congratulations to them. Coach Nolan, in just his second season, able to lead this team to a championship. So obviously good things there as well. So we'll talk about that coming up in the show today. But I do want to talk about crossover season. Crossover season is here. This is the time of year that taxes everyone. I don't care if you're an athletic administrator. I don't care if you are a fan. I don't care what your role is. This is the busiest time of the college athletic season. Because as we start to wind down football, and hopefully not wind down too fast, right? Football and volleyball, we keep those things going as long as we can. Basketball seasons are heating up. And it's about to be the busiest time in Vermilion of this time of year, right? Especially the Dome, when you think about it. Look at what we have scheduled here this next week. Football is on the road on Saturday. Volleyball is at home. And then Monday, the basketball teams open up their regular season, so it's a doubleheader on Monday night. Tuesday night, we'll have the Coyote Report radio show. Then all of a sudden, the volleyball team is at home on Thursday, and before you know it, we're at Friday, and the women's basketball team is playing a lunchtime game at Creighton, and the men's team is playing that night at the Sanford Pentagon. And then we have football followed by volleyball on Saturday. And, oh, by the way, the high school state championships are going on all day on Thursday, all day on Friday, and also on Saturday as well, Saturday night, the final championship of the high school state championship. So it's a very, very busy, busy time around the campus, around USD, around Vermilion, and it's crossover season. Crossover season is it's the time of year that I think we all get excited for. But it's the time of year that we all fear as well, because it means a lot of things going on and you got to find a way to make it work. So welcome to crossover season. We're officially here with basketball starting on Monday. We'll see how our basketball teams are. You saw the women's team last week in an exhibition contest on Monday night, and they were able to get through that. And now they'll open up the regular season against Northern State coming up Monday at 5:30. The men will follow with a game against Mount Marty on Monday night as well. And then the women, they'll have a great test early on. They'll go to number 22 Creighton on Friday and play that early game. It's like 11:30 a.m. down in Omaha. So an early game, it'll give us something to do during the day on Friday. And then we'll get ready for men's basketball that night at the Sanford Pentagon in Sioux Falls. I know a lot of attention right now is being put towards volleyball and football as they try to make their stretch run here towards the end of the season, right? Volleyball trying to not only secure a spot, but they're trying to move up in the Summit League standings as they try to get the highest seed possible for the tournament that they will host. Should be a fun tournament the week before Thanksgiving. It'll be a Sunday, Monday, and a Tuesday. And we're hoping the KO volleyball team obviously is playing all 3 days and then winning that tournament to go to the NCAA tournament. Football is in a big stretch of the season. This is the most challenging stretch of the season for the KO football team. If you look at 3-game stretches, this is as good as it gets for Coyote football. Coming off of that loss to South Dakota State last week, a 37-3 setback at home. Now, they're the number one team in the country. They've got a handful of 6-year seniors. They've got everybody back from their national championship team. They should be good, and they are good. So, I kept saying leading up to that game last week, that game was not going to make or break the season, one way or the other. Was not going to be the decider. The Coyotes have to turn things around and get at least probably 2 wins, 1 maybe. But I started thinking about this for playoff purposes. If you look at South Dakota's schedule, if they go on the road and beat Southern Illinois and are able to beat North Dakota at home next week and then wrap up the season with a victory on the road at Western Illinois, that's 3 wins to close out the year. That would put South Dakota at 9-2 on the season, 7-1 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. That brings South Dakota right back into the conversation for a top 8 seed in the FCS playoffs. A top 8 seed would be great. You know what that means? Thanksgiving is off, and you get a week to rest up, and then you get ready for a game on December the 2nd. If South Dakota is not able to win on the road this week against Southern Illinois or at home next week against North Dakota, I'm assuming the Coyotes are going to go beat Western Illinois in Macomb, but, you know, things happen. So we're going to assume Western Illinois is a win. If the Coyotes split one of their next 2 games, I'm not saying a seed is entirely out of the question, but if they're able to win 2 of their final 3, they are a lock to make the FCS postseason. That would put them at 8 wins overall. It would put them at 6-2 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. So that would put South Dakota as a lock. If, let's say, the Coyotes win just one of their remaining games, that would put them at 7-4 on the year and at 5-3 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Those numbers have always been our standard. If you hit these numbers, you're going to the playoffs. However, this year might be a little bit different depending on how things play out around the league. That could put South Dakota squarely in the mix of a whole bunch of teams, not only in the Valley, but around the country as well. Now, how much will the win over North Dakota State and the win over Youngstown State play into the minds of people as they start making some of these decisions on who will go to the playoffs? But only one win down the stretch here puts South Dakota squarely on the playoff bubble. And I like to talk about the playoffs. I like to think about it, right? All the different scenarios. Now, obviously, if things go poorly and they don't get a win over the final 3 games, well, there won't be any playoff opportunities. But I started looking at the playoff scenarios because why not? You've got a team right now that is 6-2 on the year. They're 4-1 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. And you got a chance to really go make a statement and bounce back after that loss to top-ranked South Dakota State. So it's a big, big game this Saturday in Carbondale, Illinois, against Southern Illinois. Should be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for it. And then you got the North Dakota game coming up on November 11th, final home game. That is such a huge, huge game for this Coyote football team. So if you're getting to the point where you're taxed out on going to games and things like that, I'm telling you, this is where we all have to dig deep. This is crossover season, and we have to really dig deep because the volleyball team's going to need our support here down the stretch as they try to make a run to see how high they can get. Who knows? Maybe with some help, Summit League regular season championship is still in play. Doesn't matter. Support them at home, see what you can get, and then Coyote football when they play home against North Dakota at a noon game. Let's try to get as many people to the Dome as we possibly can because that is a gigantic game for South Dakota against North Dakota on November the 11th. And yes, still support the basketball teams as they get their season underway. A lot of things going on for Coyote Athletics. So stay up to date with all of it. Make sure you check out goyotes.com. The South Dakota women's cross country team is coming off of a Summit League cross country championship. The Coyotes winners in Brookings last weekend. We're joined now by one of the leaders on that team, Abby Rippert. Abby, first of all, congratulations on the championship and your individual performance. I know that you guys you put in a lot of time running all year long, and to have it finally come together in that setting, what did that mean to you?
It was amazing. I think that the girls on the team, we just worked so hard this year, and I think we've been kind of felt underestimated the whole year and really the past 3 or 4 years. So to finally have all that hard work pay off was just, it was great. It was really exciting.
And it's not just a, you know, this veteran group. I mean, this was a mixture of veterans and young athletes getting involved. How cool was that to just see it all come together?
It was honestly like the best case scenario. Like some of these girls, these veterans besides myself, they've never won a cross country championship before, and so it was really cool for them and to bring in like the new blood to kind of bring it all together, and they just bond so well. I think as a team we've just really been really close this year, and so it's just really been fun to kind of get it all put together and to see us all perform really well on the most important day of the year, really.
Yeah, no question. So, and Coach Nolan Fife, obviously just in his second season, what has he brought to this cross-country team that has allowed your team really to reach its potential?
Honestly, like just the fresh blood we've brought in has been really helpful just to kind of boost morale. I know like a lot of us have been running together for 3, 4, 5 years, and so to just have some new fresh blood has kind of been a little bit refreshing, and I think it kind of brought some fresh blood into the group, and we kind of just had this new sense of energy that we could do this. And so I think we were all just really excited to kind of put on one last show for us seniors and to kind of get the ball rolling for these freshmen to kind of keep it going for next year. And so I think it was just kind of the perfect storm of energy, and yeah, the whole situation was just kind of best case scenario.
You have been around USD for a while. You just said 3, 4, 5 years. You're a seventh year senior, and I know that can be good and it can be bad. Obviously, if you're around that long, that means you dealt with some challenges throughout your career. How would you describe your USD career when you talk about COVID canceling seasons and you talk about the injuries that you've battled?
You know, I came in as a freshman and I was just kind of naive, and I didn't really know how special USD's program was. And then once I like kind of got to understand that, I kind of dealt with some injuries in there, and you know, COVID kind of happened, so we kind of had some bumps in the road. But I think that we're, now that I've been around so long, I'm hoping anyways that I've kind of instilled that in the girls, that this is a really special program and the girls at USD can do like great things as long as they really believe that they can. And I got to see that really a lot, like my younger freshman sophomore year when we had won 5 in a row. And now, like, I think our track team and our cross country teams are kind of coming back around and they're starting to believe that they really are like amazing women and they can do amazing things. And it's just really exciting to see that energy come back. And I think that these girls are set up for a great track season coming up here, and we're set up for a great regional race coming up. So I'm just really excited to see what they're going to do.
You were around during some conference title years, as you mentioned, but I don't believe you were on the conference roster. How much did that fuel you over the last several years to this moment?
Honestly, that's probably the biggest reason that I kept coming around. You know, my sophomore year, we won our 5th title, and I was one of the alternates that year, and I was really, really sad that I wasn't able to compete that year. I was just starting to gain momentum with my fitness, and I was just really excited where I was headed, and then I wasn't on the team, so I was just kind of bummed and just really ready to to be on the team. And so the next year I kind of came out swinging, and I think I was our top runner in almost every single race. And then unfortunately that was the year that we kind of lost our streak. And I know we've had the girls to do it ever since, but we just haven't ever been able to put the race together. So to finally bring it back home and to finally win another Summit League title on my really final chance, it was just kind of, it was everything. I mean, it was just really exciting to be able to do that on one last go around. And I just think to all the teammates I've had and how much hard work that we've put in, and it's just really exciting. And I'm glad that I got to be a part of it at the beginning and the end.
Last year, you suffered an injury in the middle of the season. How mentally challenging is something like that when you worked so hard and then you deal with an injury and you try to figure out what's next?
Yeah, I kind of, when I got hurt last year, you know, I was kind of thinking that that was going to be it for my career, but I knew that I wasn't done running. And so I just got to work and put in the work to, you know, put it to my PT school knowledge to work. And I did the rehab and I got back to running again. And I realized that my fitness wasn't really gone. And so if I could compete, if I wanted to compete, I could. And I kind of decided I wanted to compete. And so I just kept putting the work in with the teammates and was able to put together a pretty good track season and then carry that momentum into cross country this year. So it kind of worked out for the best. Didn't really think that I was going to do it, but here I am.
You made the decision to come back for one more chance at a conference title. And obviously that hope and that dream has come true for you. How difficult of a decision was that? You talk about running. Obviously, you love running, but there are some rigors of preparing yourself for this level of running. How much of a decision was it for you to really decide, you know, how much it's worth to try it one more year?
Honestly, like, it's in the time that I was making decisions, it's so easy because when we're coming off like a high of like running so well, like I ran well at the conference meet and the outdoor track, and I just didn't want that to be the end for me. And so it was really easy to make the decision to keep coming back. But the work, I just have to keep making that decision because the work it takes to stay and compete at this level is, it's kind of a lot. And right now I'm like working 40 hours a week for my clinical. So all my training has been in the evenings. And now that it's getting dark, I have to be a little bit creative with how I get my runs in and how I get my training in. And so it's just been kind of a roller coaster ride for me. And all the hard days I've had have been followed up with good days. So it makes it a little bit easier to kind of be competitive and want to show up for my teammates. But it's a decision that I keep having to make, and I'm glad I keep doing it because weekends like last weekend make it all worth it. But yeah, I think I would do it over again, but I don't know if I'd recommend to other people to do what I'm doing.
Do as I say, not as I do type of deal.
Exactly.
Abby, when you look at, you know, just your situation and how this whole thing has unfolded, I mean, this is when people run in cross country, you're typically also in track and field. And so you never really get that much time off. And it's a year round commitment, I guess, if you will.
Yep.
You're also a seventh year senior. How do you keep track of which sport you still have eligibility left in?
That's a great question. TFRS, the website that kind of keeps track of all of our results from races, has been very helpful for me to be able to look back and see when I did when and kind of keep track of my injuries and all of my teammates' races and stuff. I mean, I talk to my friends all the time about, oh, remember this in this race? And it's just like going down memory lane when you look at all those past results and all the highs and the lows, and it kind of brings back some good memories. But yeah, I don't know.
You mentioned PT school, and you've been doing that for the last few years. What was your motivation to go into physical therapy?
Well, there's a few There's a lot of different reasons I decided PT, but with all of my injuries, I just had felt a real drawing to that physical therapy world. I've done a lot of physical therapy myself, and my mom's a physical therapist, so I just kind of have grown up with physical therapy in my life and knowing a lot of physical therapists. But as I've kind of gotten into physical therapy school, I've kind of grown to love the profession more and more, and I've seen what I can do in the profession and the benefit I can have for people and the change I can help people make. And it's been a journey, but I've loved every minute of it. And it hasn't necessarily been easy, but I would definitely do it again. And I'm really excited to see where my career takes me.
You mentioned earlier that you used your PT knowledge when you're trying to rehab yourself. How much, how did you design any of your own rehab plans?
Not really. So we are actually do our like lower extremity class like the spring semester of our second year, and I had broken my foot the fall semester of our second year, but I was able to use some of the principles we learned in school to kind of help guide myself along. But I actually did go to see a physical therapist for a couple months there, but I definitely learned a little bit while I was in there, and then I was able to draw connections from my injury while we were in that next semester of school and be like, oh yeah, I remember doing this, this, and this, and I remember why this was important and those kinds of things. So it kind of is just helpful being like an injury prone athlete and being able to relate to people that are going through injury and having surgeries and that kind of thing. Not everyone gets the experience of being on crutches for 6 weeks and trying to live an adult life. And so those kinds of experiences I think will definitely help me in my career, as they're not really super ideal, but they definitely give me a sense of compassion for those that I'm working with. And so I am thankful, I guess, for those opportunities, even though I didn't necessarily want them or need them, but I'm thankful that I'm able to relate to people a little bit more, and hopefully that will help me in my career.
You have got to be one of the few people on the planet that can turn injury-prone situation into a positive, but you're really working at it here.
I'm trying.
What do you hope to do next? Obviously, physical therapy, PT school, and all of that. Do you hope to stay in the area? Have you really thought about what might be next? I mean, your running journey at USD is going to come to an end. Is there more running in your future? What do you hope to accomplish?
That's a great question. I've actually been thinking about that a little bit more because I'm kind of coming to a screeching halt here with my career, but I would definitely love to keep running. I don't really know what that's all going to entail. I have a few more clinicals that are going to be a little bit challenging here, and then I'm going to take my boards exam, so that's going to take up my running time, but studying for those. But I don't know. We'll have to see what the next few months bring. I'm hoping to stay in the area, and I would love to stay involved with athletics in some sort of way, whether that be treating them or helping and being an assistant coach somewhere, or just even volunteering for meets. I don't really know what that's going to look like yet, but I can tell you that I have enjoyed being around the athletic program at USD way too much to let athletics drop from my life very suddenly when I'm done with cross country here. So I don't really know what it's going to look like yet, but I know that it's not the end for athletics for me, for sure.
What would be your message to the younger student athletes who maybe aren't reaching the roster position that they want early in their career, but you were someone who was able to stick with it, and it obviously paid off for you in the end, and use that as a motivation tool. What would your message be to somebody younger who has potential but maybe isn't quite reaching it as early as they hope?
I would say just do the little things. I mean, like, there's so much more to being a student athlete than just what goes on the field. And if you're doing the small things, like getting sleep, eating right, going to class, doing all the small things, that can really pay off. And over time, those things start to show, and they can show in your training too, and your performance too, as well. So I really think that just being persistent and really just putting the small things together over time just can make all the difference in the world for people. But it's not exactly the easiest thing to do. And I think that's, especially as student athletes, I think it's really hard to get caught up in some of those small things and get stressed about the about what's going on in front of you. But 4 years is a long time. And I know I've been around 7 years, so it's really hard to take my word for it. But you just putting the small things together can have a cumulative effect. In 4 years, you can do great things.
Well, if you keep turning all the negatives into the positivity that you have so far, then you're going to do great things. Abby, it's been great to have the conversation. Congratulations again on your Summit League championship, the team title, sixth in program history for USD, and good luck in regionals. I know you got that coming up here in a couple of weeks, so good luck there, and good luck in the future wherever it might take you.
Thank you so much.
That is Abby Ripperda, one of the members of the Summit League champion women's cross-country team. South Dakota on the road this week for a top 10 matchup with Southern Illinois. The Coyotes and Salukis have had some certain some big battles over the last few years, and they'll do it again in Carbondale this week. We're joined now by Luke Martin, the play-by-play voice of Southern Illinois. Luke, this team is obviously having itself a fine season when you look at what they've done with an FBS win and obviously a close loss to South Dakota State. Not a lot of things that raise your eyebrows in a negative way about this team.
No, John, first and foremost, man, good to hear your voice. Good to be with you. Can't wait to see you here in Carbondale this weekend. But it has. I mean, there's been way more good data points this year for Southern than there's been bad. The Youngstown game, which right now is one of the two blemishes in the Missouri Valley Football Conference for SIU, it's just more of the head scratcher because you look at the score, 31-3. Defense was put in a lot of tough spots in that second half, specifically in the fourth quarter when Coach Hill was just trying to get the offense ignited and went for it on fourth down three times deep inside their own 30-yard line. Failed on all three, and Youngstown got two touchdowns out of that to push that game out of reach late. But, man, a thriller over Northern Illinois early in the year where the defense proved to be a big part of that win. And then the offense trailing 15-0 at halftime to come back and beat a regional rival in SEMO with a last-second touchdown to Isaiah Hartrip to win that one. This year, for me, being my first year in Carbondale, it has not lacked theatrics, John Thayer, that is for sure. And the Salukis have done their job to, just like the Coyotes have, they've done their job to make this game this weekend extremely meaningful for both when you get to the month of November.
Well, and as you talk about it being meaningful, I mean, both teams at this point in the season are still playing for a potential top eight seed in the playoffs and really playing for a playoff spot in general. These are three, not only is this a big one, but both of these teams have three really big games coming up.
Yeah, you're exactly right, John. I mean, but this is what you want. And I think before the year started, I can't speak from a Coyote perspective, but I know from a Saluki fan perspective, they would take where they're at right now. I mean, this is exactly what they would have loved to been in this spot. Okay, you got three games left in the season. You got a chance to potentially be a seed. Would you take that? Every Saluki fan would have ran with that, especially after last year where you lose the last four games, which started with that loss in the Dakota Dome back in late October. So the Salukis have done their job just like the Coyotes have. They have put themselves in position. They have good wins. South Dakota on the road at North Dakota State. We talked about Southern going on the road and beating an FBS team and beating a ranked FCS team. Now you got to do it when it matters, and that's in the month of November. And SIU hasn't won a home November game, John, since 2019. So it's been a while since they've been able to win a home game in the month of November, which everybody knows when you get to November, that's when you're deciding whether you're going to get into the playoffs or not. And Southern's right now, they're in a great spot, but you have to take care of business here and find ways to get yourself in a really good position for the postseason run.
Luke Martin, our guest, he's the play-by-play voice of the Southern Illinois Salukis. Luke, when you look at this offense, I look at the quarterback spot with Nick Baker, and if I were to come up with a list of quarterbacks in the Valley, he is one that would be in that short list of real difference makers for a team. When he's on, he's extremely effective.
He is. I mean, Nick has done a tremendous job this year because he's had to do – so much more in some games because he's been under a lot of pressure at times. You know, that Youngstown State game that I've alluded to a couple times already, and he was sacked almost 8 times in that game. I think 7 officially and arguably should have been one more. But what Nick's done is he's just a gamer. He makes a lot of plays out of nothing. It looks like the play is going to break down, pocket collapses, and all 5'9" of them, John, will just sneak out of the pocket, find a way to sneak through, buy himself time, and then just take advantage of the weapons that he's had. He's been without Roe Elliott since the Missouri State game, which Roe still our leading rusher on the season, and hasn't carried the football since the Missouri Valley Football Conference opener. They're planning to have him back this weekend. That will help in terms of getting the running game going, but Deontay Cox has been in and out. Isaiah Hardtrip and Vincent Davis have been the two receivers that have gotten most of the attention for Nick in terms of being targets that he can go through. But unlike a year ago, the offensive line has been consistent. Yes, at times they've allowed pressure where Nick's had to make more happen when he's had to get out of the pocket, but they've had the same starting five all year long. They didn't have a single guy start in the same spot on the offensive line last year, John, in all of the 11 games a year ago. So that's been huge. Consistency up front, helping Nick Baker try to distribute to those weapons that he has offensively.
You know, you look at Southern Illinois, and I'm sure for our fans, a couple of things that'll stand out is Javon Williams is no longer there, which yeah. seemed like the big old beast back that could do everything for Southern Illinois. And you keep hearing the name Cox. Well, Avante Cox was obviously a stud there for a long time for Southern Illinois as well. Obviously, you mentioned Roe Elliott. He's a guy who's come on the last couple of years. Very important piece to this offense. That'll be huge to have him back.
He is. He's a home run hitter. I mean, Justin Strong did have an 80-yard touchdown run against Murray State, but no offense to the Racers. Their defense is just not up to par to what most schools in the league are. Roe Elliott is that home run threat. I mean, at any point on the field, you feel like he could take it to the house. When he's not been in there, you don't feel like you have that firepower in the backfield. Now, Justin Strong has done what he has can. Jalen Benefield's been battling a groin injury, the transfer from Eastern Illinois, but he's been playing. It doesn't feel like he's still maybe quite yet 100% healthy. LaShawn Lester, who had a really big day against the Leathernecks, but a lot of teams have had big days against Western Illinois this year in running the football. He did have 139 yards on the ground with 3 touchdowns. They like to see LaShawn get right there with Roe, but getting Roe back, I just can't tell you, John, it means a lot of different things in positive ways for this Saluki offense that, yes, there's many weapons, but the offense still at times this year feels like it's been a little bit of a letdown, and they haven't maybe gotten to the level consistently that they know that they can get to. They have not played their best football yet this year. They're hoping that maybe now, starting to get all of these pieces back, that maybe this is the month where the offense can finally get to that full potential.
You look at the defense for Southern Illinois, and they've been able to get after quarterbacks this year, but it sure seems like the heart and soul of that defense for, it feels like 10 years, has been P.J. Jules.
You and everybody else, John, has definitely felt that way about P.J. P.J. has really turned into Jeremy Chinn 2.0. As impactful as Jeremy Chinn was, because you could utilize Jeremy in so many different ways, PJ is the same way. So for Coyote fans this weekend that watch the game synced up with your radio call, John, they'll see PJ being moved all the way around at the defense. You'll see him lined up sometimes at a defensive end spot. You'll see him at linebacker. You'll see him traditionally at times on the deep end at safety. You'll see him out in the flat guarding the slot. They can utilize him and push him in so many different areas on the field. And PJ is one of two guys on that defense that is not a transfer. So you look at the starting defense this year, 9 of the 11 have transferred at some point in time into Southern Illinois. So what has Coach Hill done in addition with Antonio James in his first year as the DC, second year on staff? They've hit home runs in the portal, and they've done a really good job at finding, whether it's a Dune Smith, who did play a year ago, battled injuries, but came in from Pittsburgh, where it's Colin Bohannock, Tim Varga, two Eastern Illinois transfers who have proved to be huge boosts for the defense. Devin Cowan coming in from Division II up front. I can continue to go through those names, but there's been a ton of impact guys that they have been able to hit on in terms of transfers, John, that have helped out that defense immensely, which right now is one of the best in terms of rushing the football in the country. I think now third nationally in rush defense, and then one of the best overall in total defense right now, ranking seventh in the country.
When you look at Southern Illinois, one thing that should jump out to fans who look at this offense and defense is, so far this year, Southern Illinois has been one of the best in the conference at getting the quarterback, second, in fact, with 27 sacks, but is towards the bottom of the league when it comes to allowing sacks. Quite the opposite on those front lines.
Yeah, and I think that's an area, John, where South Dakota has improved immensely this year, is the improvement up front. And that's why the offense, you've seen at times, has really been able to hit their stride, been able to sustain long drives, especially, you know, compared to a year ago where they weren't one of the better teams in terms of protecting the quarterback. That's such a key piece. But like you said, John, the offense for Southern, they've struggled at times to protect Nick. But when they have, there's weapons galore for him to find, whether it's Vincent Davis, who's the leading receiver right now. We've gone through a lot of those names already. But they know that the defense has set themselves up to be in so many games. I mean, they held South Dakota State to just 17 points, which was their lowest total since they were held to 3 against Iowa back in the season opener a year ago in Iowa City. So this defense is legit, John. South Dakota State had success in running the football against them, just not as much as against other teams. But that's where SIU likes their chances when the weather starts to turn and they hopefully can earn themselves the right to get in the postseason play. They truly believe the defense is playing at a championship level.
Luke, you see this team obviously every game, and you see them at practice. As you think about Saturday's matchup, South Dakota, Southern Illinois, obviously it's a home game for the Salukis. What has to go well? What does Southern Illinois have to do right if they're going to win on Saturday?
Well, you look at the games that Southern has lost, what's been the consistency factor there, John? It's they've just not been able to sustain offensive drives, and they've not been able to do it in terms of running the football, both against South Dakota State and Youngstown State. Getting Roe Elliott back, how will that impact the offense in terms of running the football consistently and effectively? And it's not like Southern has to have 7-8 minute drives. They have to hold on to the ball, win time of possession. That's not an important analytic for Nick Hill. He doesn't put a ton of emphasis on being able to hold on to the ball, possess the football. It's just find a way to get explosive plays. And I think that's really similar probably between both of these teams, John, in terms of what they strive and look for. But for Southern to have success, they have to have explosive plays on the offensive side. And defensively, it's just continuing to do what they have done, which is they've produced a turnover in every game this year. They did not allow Western Illinois to get into the red zone at all. But when they have gotten into the red zone, the teams those previous 3 weeks, they've had at least a red zone turnover in 3 of those games in a row, going all the way back to Youngstown, and then they'd be able to continue that all the way even against South Dakota State, being able to break their streak that was really remarkable of a scoring stretch in the red zone on 70 consecutive trips, and they did against Murray State as well. So to continue the success, to have success on Saturday from an SIU perspective, offensively, you have to protect Nick. You got to sustain some sort of running game, consistent running game against the Coyotes. Have been good as well in stopping the run. And then defensively, John, you know that South Dakota is going to move the ball at some point in time against you. Just when it gets into the red zone, when they're able to move the ball, whether it's Bauman through the air, whether it's Tice on the ground, whether it's finding Carter Bell through the air, you just can't break. You can't allow those explosive plays, especially by yourself. But when it gets into the red zone, can you continue to do what you've done this year, which is find a way to get stops, hold teams to field goals, and also find a way to produce a red zone turnover?
Well, it should be a fun one on Saturday. Luke, I got to put you on the spot here. We always have some family members and fans that make trips to these type of games. So those that do, in the Carbondale area, where's a great place for some food on Friday night, or maybe a tailgate location if they're not outside on or breakfast spot, whatever it might be on Saturday.
Put me on the spot. Come on, John. This is easy. I'm already so well acquainted with Carbondale. Not that I want to, you know, torque off any of the businesses that I go to, but for me, it's easy. If Coyote fans are there Saturday morning, if you got a chance to go anywhere, love Mary Lou's. Mary Lou's is a great diner in town. Marilyn Martin, who's one of the owners there, just always treats me great when I go there. No relation, by the way, despite having the same last name. But they're a great family, do a great job with that business. Their biscuits and gravy, oh, my goodness, top notch. I always get their meat lover's omelet as well. If you're a big breakfast person, that is where you got to go before the game on Saturday morning, before you make your way over to Saluki Stadium at 1 o'clock. That's easy, John. Man, that's a softball now. I'm used to, like, some curveballs from you, but I'm glad you at least threw me a nice little fastball down the middle there.
Hey, glad to help. But it should be fun. We'll definitely check out some of those spots, and excited for the game. Luke, always appreciate your time, man, and look forward to seeing you down in Carbondale.
Absolutely, John. Thanks, brother.
He's Luke Martin, the play-by-play voice of the Southern Illinois Salukis. Excited to see him and other people down in Carbondale this week as we make that journey for Coyote football. We'll see how things play out on Saturday. It should be a fun one. 1 o'clock is our kickoff time. All right, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote athletics. The South Dakota volleyball team is on the road on Thursday. They'll play at St. Thomas. It's a 7 o'clock start time. See if the Coyotes can get a road victory. Swimming and diving is hosting a meet in Sioux Falls at the Aquatic Center up there. That is the Coyote Extravaganza. That is set to run Friday and Saturday. So if you're in the Sioux Falls area and you want to check out swimming, you can do so at the Midco Aquatic Center. Also, the football team Saturday, obviously, is at Southern Illinois. It's a 1 o'clock start time. You can watch that game on ESPN+. You can also tune into the Coyote Sports Network. Our coverage gets underway at 12 o'clock. Volleyball back home on Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock. They'll take on North Dakota, so that might be the perfect little deal. You can put in your AirPods, your earbuds, whatever it may be, and pull up the old Varsity Network app on your mobile device and listen to the football game while you're at volleyball, and you're killing two birds with one stone, as they might say. We're going to get Sunday off this week, and that might be known as the calm before the storm, because basketball doubleheaders start on Monday. It's a 5:30 start time for the women's basketball team against Northern State. The men take on Mount Marty around 8 o'clock on Monday night. Tuesday, we'll have our Coyote Report Radio Coaches Show at the Old Lumber Company Grill and Bar in downtown Vermilion. And then we'll look ahead at another busy week of South Dakota athletics that is straight ahead next weekend as well. That's what's going on in Coyote athletics. To stay up to date with schedule information, stories, and more, go to goyotes.com. Also, while you're there, grab your tickets to all the home events that are coming up for Coyote athletics. Hope you can catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. That's it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. And as always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.